Zena, I'll always love you.
Hablando en alta voz, hieres mi corazón. Yo, tratando de escuchar, no me puedo explicar qué extraña sensación. Tú no me quieres entender.
Welcome, everyone, to Zena Nuber's podcast, a.k.a. XNU. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 68. This podcast show is for all the Zena Nuber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So welcome back, everyone. Welcome to another XNU show. I hope everyone is doing well. We are doing quite well, counting down the days. I go on vacation next week for a week. Yay! So, nice rest and relaxation, especially now that the house is all cleared, set, and ready to go and for us to enjoy. In regards to some news and things like, well, on the happy front, we won't have any more news on the regards of the floor fiasco, but we will have updates regarding the insurance information. The latest information that we've gotten was... And I'm not going to give you the song news snippet for this part. We just received a letter stating that to sign off for the scope of the works to have been completed. And there's a little section on there. I'm going to read that to you. It's just a little section in the letter before it signs. And it says, I, print your name, the undersigned, confirm that all contracted works have been completed satisfactorily by the company. And there's about a 3-inch gap at the bottom of the page where you could put your signature and the date of the sign-off. And of course, I'm not going to let that go, am I? I'm going to sit there and type up a nice little thing on the WordPerfect screen and then put that in the printer and print it up and then have my partner sign off on it. And then I will include all that with a copy of that to the insurance company. Can't wait for that. I'm so excited. But anyway, we're going to go and get into some latest news on all the different sites and then rock on with the show. So here we go.
Come and get some.
All right, the song snippet you hear this week is from my good friend Ina over in Germany. She sent me in Nelly Furtado's Manos al Aire, which is translated Hands in the Air. I appreciate that. It's a really cute little song, and I hope you enjoy it. And check it out on YouTube, and you can get the lyrics and then translate them if you want.
Come and get some.
And the book review this week, we have coming from, actually, it's not my book wench, it was somebody else this week. From Marty. Marty sent me in a book, and it's, thanks Marty, by the way, for this book review. It's called Branded Anne by Mary Shannon, published by Bold Stroke Books. No pirate on the high seas is more bloodthirsty than the notorious Branded Anne, a woman with eyes like ice and a face marred by a mysterious cross-shaped scar. When she raids a merchant vessel bound for Jamaica, her only objective is to obtain the map that will lead her to the legendary treasure. But she hadn't bargained on taking Violet, the merchant's young widow, on board her ship as a prisoner. In spite of her childlike appearance, Violet has a dark side of her own that Anne finds both infuriating and endearing. As Branded Anne sails in search of a treasure, her task is made more difficult by a stowaway child, an increasingly rebellious crew, and the treacherous seas of the Devil's Triangle. To make matters worse, she finds herself falling for her not-so-innocent but altogether charming captive. But will Violet be able to overcome the demons of her past and accept Anne's love? And will they survive the treasure hunt that has already claimed the lives of so many before them? So that's Branded Anne by Murray Shannon and published at Boldstow Books. And as usual, I'll have a link on my show notes for that. Okay, over in Renee News on ReneeO'Connor.net, there's a message there from Renee stating, message from Renee. Hi friends, thanks to those of you who are submitting the Experiences of God videos. We will start running them in a week. Let the word God point you in the right direction for yourself. There are many names for what I am talking about, and getting beyond the distinctions which creates animosity is the point of this experience. So please join in. With appreciation, Renee. And she also put on another one up there saying, hi gang, check out the latest painting for sale on eBay, Renee. So that's what we've got over on Renee News.
Come and get
me. All right, over on the official Lucy Lawless fan club site, we've got a message from Sharon there, and it says, here's Lucy's letter of thanks to the people who signed on. Thanks for speaking up and signing on. We have to tell our governments the financial recession is not an excuse to do nothing. The catastrophe of global warming will make the recession look like a sour little joke. Clearly, something has to change. Nobody ever went out of business by adapting to the times. John Key, carry our message to Copenhagen this December. We care desperately about the health of this planet. There are brilliant minds in science, engineering, and agriculture who know how to reduce our contribution to climate change. Let's not waste time and knowledge. The Earth has been good to us. What have we done for her lately? Lucy L. All right, when we last left off, Celine had just come in and shown Gabrielle, Xena, and Cyrene her new Amazon outfit, which of course was lacking as far as materials. And Xena decided that she was going to try and treat her sister as an adult now. And after some talking, they sorted their issues out and came to an amicable agreement. And then Gabrielle went on to Elder's council to validate her claim as queen when she came across some questioning by one of the elders there by the name of Lexa. And apparently there's some political siding going on that Gabrielle, by coming to validate her status as queen, came between her and Adara. So she suggested that why not, let's just settle this one way and for all and just ask Artemis. And Lexa mockingly said, you've got to be joking. You can't ask, you know, Artemis. You know, we have to wait for the spirit of Artemis to contact us and yada yada. And she's like, well, no, why don't we just ask her, you know? When the last time I needed her, she just appeared when I needed her. And Lexa was very like, yeah, right, you know? So they went to Athena and Art, and they went to the temple, Artemis's temple. And that's when Gabrielle called upon them, and Athena answered, and then Athena went and got Artemis and came back and presented themselves, so to speak, in front of Lexa and Adara, thus ending the notion that Gabrielle wouldn't be queen and she really couldn't summon the gods, and Lexa looked well and truly put in place. So that's where we left off, and we continue on with the Conqueror series by the late L.J. Moss, and we're going to start now on chapter 33.
Come and get me.
Chapter 33. Thou Know Who Made Thee. Addendum to the Lord Conqueror's manuscript, separate parchment, added in Xena, the Lord Conqueror's presence by Queen Gabrielle of Potidaea. I paced through the spacious rooms that made up our home in the Amazon village. I should have been obsessing upon the upcoming evening festivities. That would have made sense, at least. Instead, I wrung my hands and walked back and forth, waiting for something as innocent as seeing my own daughter again. Xena had gone with Ephany for a tour of the Amazon's training facilities. After I seen my wife strap on her sword, I felt the need to extract a promise from her. She gave me her word that she wouldn't pummel any of my new subjects too badly. I thought it important, at least on our first day here. Everyone seemed to conveniently find something to do for the afternoon. I wasn't sure whether I appreciated the gesture or not. I wanted more time. What would I say? How would I explain to a child of 5 summers how and why I had given her up, and why her mother had never been around? In the midst of my fretful behavior, Nia, the young woman who had cared for Amira since her arrival in the village, cleared her throat to announce herself.
Your Highness,
I must have looked as though my mind had been off traveling 1,000 leagues away. Yes, Nia. Please come in. Nia entered, holding the hand of a smiling Amira. The youngster always looked cheerful, as though fear had been something she hadn't quite comprehended yet. I knew it could not be, but I wished that it would be so. She looked around the room, and I noticed the expression which she said. And I noticed the expression which said life, every day in fact, was a complete adventure.
Hi, Geb. Your Highness?
Amira finished after a stern look from Nia. Gabrielle is fine. I thought that maybe you and I could visit a bit, Amira. Would you like that?
Sure.
She continued to look around the room as she spoke. I quickly wondered what a youngster her age could get into trouble with inside our quarters. I hoped that Xena hadn't left any of her weapons anywhere about.
Shall I stay?
Nia asked. No, thank you, Nia. We'll be fine. Perhaps you might ask the cooks to bring round something to eat?
Right away, Your Highness.
She said before hurrying off to do my bidding. I had serious doubts whether I would ever be able to convince these women to treat me informally. Even after my time in the palace at Corinth, I had a difficult time getting used to anyone fetching and caring for me. It still felt odd to tell someone what to do. The Amazons made it quite easy. They were nothing if highly organized. All I had to do was ask for something, and seemingly, moments later, someone laid it at my feet. Thus, before long, Amir and I sat down to a wonderfully prepared lunch. We'd both eaten more than our fair share. Amira had inherited my appetite, but the way she bounced around the room, I could certainly see how she stayed so tiny. She was her mother's daughter, and I was happy not to see her father when I looked into her face.
These are my favorite.
Amira pointed to a plate of small mini pastries. They tasted like spicy bits of lamb meat wrapped in a bread-like pastry. Then you should have the last one, I replied.
Oh, no. That wouldn't be polite.
She had pronounced the word as if saying, oh. It seemed suspiciously as though she recently learned the word. I didn't want to spoil her, even though I knew what might become inevitable. I would try to guard against it, I thought to myself. I did want to commend her, however, for such courteous behavior. Well, usually you always offer the other person the last one of anything. But in this case, since it's just you and me, you go ahead. She appeared to think about it for a moment.
We could share.
What a good idea. I'm proud of you for thinking of that, but I'm getting sort of full. So you go ahead.
Okay.
She quickly replied, reaching for the pastry and taking a large bite. We talked about all manner of things during the afternoon. Amir was certainly hard to stop once she started. Our discussion was to my benefit, since I found her intelligent beyond her years. She had big ears and a quiet tongue most of the time, much like her mother had been as a child. Amira listened to conversations when no one paid her any mind. I learned an enormous amount of information about the people and habits of the village. It was information untainted by bias or political affiliations. The village is seen through the eyes of a child. Amira had to thoroughly investigate everything. She examined the contents of some of the clothing baskets we had packed. She came upon my armor vest, and it intrigued her the most. She attempted to lift the vest.
Ooh, this one is heavy,
Amira said. That's because it's armor. I wear it when I travel out in the open.
It's pretty.
Pretty uncomfortable.
You should wear this tonight. Everyone will know you're the queen then. You'll sparkle just like Athena.
She moved into my lap and snuggled against me. It felt wonderful, like nothing I'd ever experienced before. She did nothing but play with her fingers and hum to herself, appearing as comfortable as though she'd never been separated her entire life. Amira, how did you already know I was going to be queen?
I heard it. Somebody said it. Can you ride a pony?
She changed the subject. Yes, I can. In fact, Xena taught me. Amira, what other things have you heard? She shrugged and snuggled against me further.
Things.
This was my opportunity. I would tell her now. I should start slowly. Begin with when Xena freed me. No, before that. I would have to tell her I had been a slave. Probably explain what slavery was. Perhaps I should tell her about when I was her age. Of course, then I have to explain about my mother and father, and that could get tricky. I could always...
Are you my mama?
She sat up straight to ask. My brain wanted to answer, but the girl's directness had frozen my tongue in place. I could no more than nod my head.
Good.
She smiled and returned to her comfortable position, snuggled against my chest. Why good? I found my voice enough to ask.
Cause you're nice. I hoped it was you, but I've been waiting a long time. Athena said you would be nice.
Athena? Athena speaks to you?
Yep, since I was just a kid. She said not to ever tell no one, so I didn't. I figure it's okay now, though, since I saw her talking to you, too, today, so you think it's okay now, Mama?
I knew tears might frighten her, but I couldn't stop them. All this time, Athena couldn't directly interfere in our lives, but she had watched over my daughter, just as she had watched over me in my life. Yes, I think Athena will understand. Amira, is that okay with you, me, your mother?
Oh, yeah! I knew it was gonna be you. I watched when you guys was walking around the village. I climbed up a tree so I could see better, and Athena winked right at me before she disappeared.
So that's who she winked at. I tickled her belly, and Amira giggled and squirmed in my grasp.
Are those happy tears again?
She asked. Yes, they're very happy tears. She thought about that and then replied.
You're happy a lot, huh?
I am now, little one. I am now. She seemed satisfied with my answer. I wonder how she would take leaving the village that she so recently called home. Will you mind leaving the village and coming to live in Corinth?
Will Dina be there too?
Yes, she will. I chuckled. I wouldn't go anywhere without her.
Okay, that's good. What's it like at your home?
Well, it's a very big castle by the water.
I won't have no friends.
Her mind jumped around so fast that it made me more sympathetic toward Zina, having to tolerate the way my mind worked. That's not true. You'll know lots of people there. Celine and Anya. Remember Anya's little girls?
Yeah.
She answered with a giggle.
I like them.
And Celine is your aunt because she's Zina's sister. And Cyrene will be your grandmother. Cyrene isn't coming to Corinth, though.
Why?
She's going back to her own home, but we can visit there again so you can see where she lives. Besides, I bet you'll love Zina's little brother, Kor.
Okay.
Amira went back to playing with her own fingers. She obviously had the ability to adapt to any situation without too much turmoil. I imagined Athena had blessed her with that trait. It hadn't occurred to me just then that it had actually been an inherited trait of my own. Amira, do you want to talk about this anymore? You know, about me being your mother?
Nope.
Okay. I wasn't sure what to say. I didn't know if I should even bother telling her anymore. She appeared content with the information she had. She turned and her green gaze made me feel as though I had been looking into a reflective device, such as the highly polished piece of round metal that reflected my image when I dressed.
Do you...
she suddenly asked.
Want to talk?
Her concern made me smile. After all this time, I'm not sure what to say. Do you have any questions for me?
Ooh, Mama!
You thought of something? I asked out of relief from the awkward silence. Her eyes lit up like the stars in the sky, and she bounced up and down on my lap.
Can I have a pony?
I laughed at the girl's train of thought. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm not laughing at you. Yes, I just bet Zina would love to teach you to ride a pony.
Yeah, I'm gonna like torments.
Zina and Ephany walked in with what I considered perfect timing. They looked hot, dirty, and as though they'd fought off an entire army. They looked a little too happy with themselves, so I assumed they'd gotten the better of whomever they'd fought.
Zina!
Amira ran up and leapt into Zina's arms. I watched the exchange, silently contemplating how uncharacteristically comfortable Zina looked as she held Amira. It warmed my heart to see such a thing, for both their sakes.
Well, hello there, princess. Why are you so excited?
Mama says I'm gonna live with you guys in Corinth.
Zina looked surprised, but she covered well.
You don't say.
Mama says I'm gonna have lots of friends.
Oh?
Mama says I can have a pony.
I see.
Mama says you could teach me to ride a pony.
Oh, I think I can manage that.
Can I have a sword? Please, please, please?
Amira surprised both of us with that request. Xena just laughed.
I bet Mama didn't say the sword was okay, did she?
Amira giggled and shook her head. The girl was quicker than I gave her credit for at first. I think there was some inevitability that brain of hers would lead to trouble someday. Amira was just too smart, and I could see that would be a full-time job being a mother to a daughter such as her. I shook my head at Xena as she caught my eye.
Well, maybe a wooden one.
Xena responded to the claps from Amira. It's been a long afternoon, Amira. I think maybe a nap is in order if you're going to stay up late tonight, I said. I actually couldn't wait for my daughter to see me except the Queen's Mass that evening.
No, no, no!
Amira cried out and hid her face in Xena's shoulder. I smiled at the antics I had seen numerous children display at the word nap. My wife, however, had never had the experience.
Well, if she's not really tired...
Xena hedged as she looked at me. I crossed the room and placed a hand on Amira's back. She hid her face behind her hands and pressed her face against Xena. I don't know, I said, winking at Xena. I'm pretty tired. I think Xena and I were going to have a bath and then take a nap. You could always join us.
Okay.
Amira quickly looked up, smiling as though the counterfeit tears had never begun.
You little faker.
Xena teased the girl. I took Amira from Xena's arms, and my child put her arms around my neck as though we'd been doing this for seasons. I noticed Xena had a darkening bruise on her cheek, just under her eye. Did someone hit you out there?
It was sparring, love. It's to be expected.
But you? Someone got close enough to do that? I admitted to surprise, but I quickly closed my mouth. I hadn't wanted to embarrass Xena in front of Ebony.
It happens.
She shrugged and then poked Amira in the belly.
Race you to the bathtub.
Amira squirmed until I set her on the ground, and then she and Xena raced off. I'd never seen Xena act so young before, and it pleased me immensely. Just before they took off, however, I caught the brief glance Xena had cast in Ebony's direction, followed by the Amazon's uncomfortable-looking expression. I could have imagined the entire thing, but if I hadn't known better, I would have said that Xena tossed a warning glance at Ebony. Before we even had a chance to warm the water for our bath, a commotion outside drew all of us to the window facing the village.
A pony!
Amira cried out, jumping up and down. Amira's delight caused most of a feeling of dread for Xena and I. Below our window, a number of Amazons, swords drawn, surrounded a centaur, Solon, and Yupan. Xena and I didn't even take time to say anything. We looked at one another and rushed out the door, me in my dressing gown yet. Stop that! Stop that at once! I shouted. I was uncertain for where that forcefulness had come. Thinking back, I do remember surprised expressions on the faces of those who knew me well. The Amazon guards looked unsure, but their elders had confirmed me as their queen, and these soldiers were nothing if not disciplined. Put your weapons away at once, I ordered. Seeing well-meaning strangers treated in such a way would have irritated me, but watching as the guards treating my family as criminals, it made my blood rage. The six Amazon guards hesitantly returned their blades to their sides, looking questioningly at one another. Lexa strode into the middle of the fray, one of her elegantly carved staffs grasped in one hand. I quickly wondered if she would always just happen to show up when there was trouble about.
What are you doing on Amazon land?
Lexa demanded of the centaur. She spat the words, which did nothing to cool my ire. I'll handle this situation, Lexa, I said. I should have been more diplomatic, but my anger had gotten the better of me. I didn't think how those around us would perceive my words. But to the other Amazons, Lexa just moved down a peg in the village hierarchy.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Her reply was anything but amiable. I imagined her using the same tone to call me an unforgivable name. Someone please explain what has happened here, I asked.
If I may, Your Highness, I am Neely of the Panther Clan. I am the officer in charge of the border guards today. We stopped these men and the centaur from trespassing on our land without prior permission. They did say that they knew you and the Lord Conqueror, so we brought them here under guard to verify their story. Forgive the use of our weapons, but until I could corroborate their story, I would not allow them to harm anyone in our village. I thought about her words and caught Yupan's eye. He nodded slightly and gave me a tiny smile. His look could say so much. Perhaps it was the connection we seemed to share. Maybe it was simply that his expression told me now was the time to calm myself. I took a deep breath. These gentlemen are members of my family, I explained. Again, forgive me, Your Highness. We didn't... You've done your job well, Neely. I should have thought ahead and made arrangements for them to enter the village. I didn't mean to take you by surprise. She acted taken aback by my words, yet pleasantly so.
The centaur is a member of your family?
Lexa asked. I'm sure she had remained silent for as long as she possibly could. No, Lexa. I think that's apparent. But he is a friend. I believe I made it clear to the council that under my rule, all centaurs are friends to the Amazon people and welcome in this village. I looked over at Neely and the other guards. The wars and the constant bickering between the centaurs and the Amazons is at an end. I received assurances from the centaurs regarding this peace also. Is that understood? Neely looked around at the growing circle of Amazon onlookers. Yes, absolutely, Your Highness. I know it's not going to happen overnight, but I do expect the Amazons to do the right thing in accepting the olive branch that's been extended. Neely smiled as though finding something amusing about my statement. Do you disagree? I asked. Not at all, Your Highness. In fact... She stopped abruptly, looking around us. I noticed that Lexa had made herself scarce. Could that have been who Neely had searched the area for also? Well, may I say that you're a breath of fresh air here in Amazonia. Thank you, Neely. You may return to your jobs. You did the right thing, of course. Your Highness, the women said in unison. They appeared slightly reluctant to leave, but could do nothing else since I'd dismissed them. Xena walked up to stand before her son.
And you?
She said sternly to Solon. She couldn't hold the expression and grinned. Solon followed her action, and they ended up embracing good-naturedly. Master, I embraced you, Pan. I had so much to tell him, but being the man he was, it was a certainty that he knew, somehow, much of my news. I noticed that a number of Amazons had gathered around us, mostly to see the centaur. The girls, no older than Amira, hadn't yet learned or cultivated their elders' hate for the centaurs. They hadn't met one before, and were obviously intrigued, as was Amira. Lexa, of course, had already slipped away. Are you a pony? Amira asked. The young centaur reared back his head and laughed at the tiny girl. He appeared to be Solon's age, dark good looks and long curly black hair. I felt a good, somewhat easygoing aura about him. He had laugh lines around his mouth, a good sign. He bent his torso down to speak to Amira.
Have you ever seen a pony who can talk before?
He asked. Amira shook her head.
Then I must be something else.
What? She asked.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Drusillus Silway de Bretagne, and I am a centaur.
What's that?
They really must be teaching these Amazon new ways,
the young centaur said to Solon. It's sort of a long story, I interrupted to say.
Dre, this is my mother, Xena, the Lord Conqueror, and her wife, Queen Gabrielle.
Solon introduced us.
You heard my arrogant friend's introduction. Most everyone just calls him Dre.
I think Xena and Gabrielle will be good enough,
Xena said, stepping up and grasping Dre's hand. And this, I motioned to Amira, is my daughter Amira.
Well, well,
Solon began.
So, this is the little princess.
How do you know that's what my name means?
Amira asked. Xena bent and lifted Amira into her arms, bringing her up to our level.
Amira, this is my son, Solon. I'm his mother, just like Gabrielle is your mother.
Hi there, little sister,
he said, and Amira smiled broadly.
He's big as a tree, just like you, Xena.
But not as big as this fellow.
Solon slapped his friend on the shoulder while laughing. It appeared that Solon and Dre were old friends. Considering how Solon acted when we first met him in Corinth, having such an amiable friend rather surprised me.
Oh yeah, he's real big,
Amira exclaimed.
Can I have a ride?
Amira, centaurs aren't animals for us to ride, Xena explained. They're people like you and me.
Oh.
She looked confused and I couldn't say I blamed her.
Sorry.
She was becoming quite familiar with that word.
Nonsense,
Dre replied.
That doesn't count for little girls and pretty ladies. Would you really like a ride?
Really? Yes, please. Can my friends come too?
Amira pointed to a group of young girls staying at the corner of our home. Dre laughed.
Absolutely. Come on, little princess. Your big brother Solon can sit up here with you.
Xena lifted the youngster into Solon's grasp. Once he had vaulted himself easily onto his friend's back, Amira looked down at the ground, and for a moment, I thought she had inherited my uneasiness for high places.
Look at me, Mama!
She called out, clapping her hands. I waved as Dre trotted over to the group of young girls. I doubted any of them would have been brave enough to mount Dre's back if Amira hadn't been there first, encouraging them. The first few girls seemed worried, but by the time everyone had taken a turn, they all laughed and giggled at Solon, Dre, and their terrible jokes. Many a mother stopped what she had been doing to watch the odd sight. Some were shocked, a few didn't look happy, but most simply watched in surprise. They may not have known it at the time, but the scene they witnessed was indicative of the way their lives would soon change.
That was fun, Dre. Thanks a bunch,
Amira said, breathless in her excitement. Once Amira had returned to my side, I nodded to Yupan. I want so much for you to meet someone, Master.
Ah, this is Amira,
he said. He bent down and Amira walked right up to him. She certainly had no fear about her. Centaurs, strangers, nothing appeared to shake her. Yupan didn't have to stoop very low, since he stood no taller than I did. He pulled an object from the folds of his robe and held it out to Amira.
A present for the princess,
he said, handing the object to Amira.
For me?
She asked, accepting the gift. She smiled and her eyes brightened when she unwrapped the cloth, revealing a beautiful cloth doll.
Mama, look!
She held up the doll for my inspection. How beautiful. Amira, this is Yupan. He's a very dear friend of mine. In fact, I think of him as my father. The words came so easily, but they had been the first time I'd publicly recognized my relationship with Yupan, beyond mere friendship. I immediately wondered what his reaction would be.
Then you're my grandpa!
Amira pointed at Yupan. He seemed delighted and straightened up and laughed out loud, something we rarely saw him do.
I suppose you could look at it that way. Then we will share a special name, shall we? You may call me Lao Yu.
It took her a few times to wrap her tongue around the foreign sounds, but she did an admirable job.
Thank you, Lao Ye,
Amira said politely. As I said, the girl had no fear in her. She took Yupan's hand and started to lead him away.
Would you like to see where we stay?
Yupan's eyes crinkled in laughter, and he winked at me before he followed Amira. My heart felt extremely full of seeing the wonder and love in those aged eyes of his. He was the father of my heart, and it made me happy to see that he felt much the same. We all chuckled at Amira as she walked away, hand in hand with Yupan.
See, this isn't our forever home. Pretty soon, I'm going to go back to Corments with Xena and Mama. And when we get there, I'm going to have new friends and a room of my very own and a pony and a wooden sword. And Xena promised.
They finally moved out of earshot and we all laughed.
Yep, she's definitely your daughter,
Sullen said, followed by some more light-hearted laughter. Oh, shush. I slapped his arm and he put on a mock-wounded expression that reminded me of his mother. I'm so sorry for the welcome you received, I said.
Well, I admit, when the court delegation got back and told everyone what had occurred, there were many disbelievers.
Dre began.
When Solon showed up with his friend, Yupan, well, let's just say that the change in him made believers out of all of us. Hey,
Solon said.
Sorry, mate, but you know it's the truth. Yeah, I guess I was pretty much of a prig, wasn't I?
Solon laughed.
What I want to know is how it happened. How did you turn this arrogant ass into a real human being?
Solon quickly glanced over at Xena and then me. He grinned that lopsided smile that reminded me so much of his mother.
I guess you could say that I finally had some sense beaten into me. I want to hear all about it someday, and not from you. I hear the queen is the storyteller in their family.
I laughed the compliment off. Frankly, Life has moved so fast lately that there's been little time for stories.
And to what other secrets has my son made you privy?
Xena asked, wearing a smile.
Are you kidding? All he's done in the last day has been talk about you and his new family.
Solon's cheeks turned bright red up in an embarrassment. He stared down at his shoes and then looked up, finding all of us smiling at him.
Oh, shut up!
He punctuated his exclamation with a hard punch to Dre's arm. Solon laughed along with us, and Xena grabbed him and affectionately tousled his hair. He looked rather young when she did that. In fact, Xena did as well. I had noticed the changes in Xena's attitude, mostly towards the children since we first left Corinth. Once I thought about it, I realized that it hadn't been only towards the children. Her whole view of life, her very posture, had lightened, as though she no longer carried the burdens of the world upon her shoulders. It wasn't only her attitude that had grown younger, but it appeared as though she'd actually grown physically younger. Was I going mad? Gone were the white wisps of hair at her temple that she had possessed when I first met her. The tiny lines around her eyes and mouth had all but disappeared. I thought that my eyes played tricks upon me, but there was that physical proof of it. I wondered if Xena had noticed the changes.
Solon, you're back!
Celine's voice took me away from my reflections. She and Solon embraced. They had become rather good friends during our time in Amphipolis. Our extended family had created the oddest of compatriots. Technically, Celine was Solon's aunt. With the relationship they had developed, I would have thought them brother and sister. They had never been more apparent until Dre caught sight of Celine, dressed in her Amazon garb.
Introduce me, mate.
Dre said. A very familiar expression crossed Solon's face. Oh no, I thought to myself. He's going to be as protective as Xena for her little sister. Gods, the girl was destined to be an old maid.
Celine, this is Dre. Dre, Celine.
He said abruptly. Hello. Celine took Dre's hand, a certain expression of awe on her face. She quickly realized that she'd been staring. I'm sorry, I...
have never met a centaur before. Don't worry, we're even. I've never met an Amazon before.
Dre responded.
At least not one as beautiful as you.
Yes, well... Celine was obviously flattered, but quickly excused herself.
What are you looking at?
Solon questioned his friend as Dre's eyes followed Celine's retreating figure.
Hey, mate. You can't tell me you haven't noticed how gorgeous she is.
She's my aunt, my mother's sister.
Solon explained.
Little sister,
Xena added.
Ah, I understand.
Dre responded.
Besides, she likes girls.
Solon said with a smug grin.
Hades, man. Do all the women in your family like other women? No offense intended.
He said in my direction. None taken, I replied with a sympathetic smile.
Pretty much.
Solon added.
Moving on, Xena prompted. What brings you all this way, Dre, besides Solon?
The truth is that he's one of these odd centaurs who actually likes Amazons. Actually, he likes anything in a skirt.
Very funny. It's true in one respect, though. Personally, I've always wondered why we kept such an age-old feud going, since most of my family can't even remember how it got started in the first place. Officially, I'm the tribe's emissary. Calliopus wanted to check with Gabrielle first to see if sending a delegation of my people here for your coronation this evening would be appropriate. We want to share in such a momentous occasion for both our peoples.
I think it would be very appropriate, I replied. It's also much appreciated. I'll be sure to alert the guards this time, so they'll be expecting you. Please tell Calliopus that I greatly appreciate him taking this first step.
Speaking of the ceremony, we still have things to do,
Xena said. I hope you'll come back with Solon this evening, Dre, I said.
Absolutely.
We caught up with Yupan, sitting on the steps to our home. He still listened intently to Amira's ramblings. We said our farewells and I mentioned for one of the guards standing nearby to escort the men and Dre from the village. I didn't want them to run into trouble on their way out. After they left, I sent the message to Ephany so that she would alert the Elder Council about the centaur's coming to the evening's festivities. It was perhaps happening faster than I planned, but peace had come to these two peoples, and there was no time like the present to begin. Xena and Amir and I headed off once more for the hot baths.
and Gabrielle's addendum. To be continued. Well, that ends episode 68 and chapter 33 of the Conquer series, Time's Fell Hand, Tale 3, by the late L.J. Moss. I hope everyone's enjoyed the show. It's a smaller show this week, or as far as time-wise is concerned, but it was a lot more labor-intensive because we had to put in those voices and change everything. If you get a chance, please send me an email. Let me know what you think of the voice, the guest voice of Anna. Once again, thank you for helping me with that. And send me any suggestions that you have on a song or a movie or a book review or anything that you might think of. Also, if you have any announcements or you want to give a shout-out to somebody, a birthday or a loved one, go ahead and send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love.